Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning on this Transfiguration Sunday. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God Almighty, you shine forth in glorious splendor. On Mount Sinai, your glory shone brightly so that even the face of Moses shone, reflecting your glory. Your glory shines forth in even greater splendor through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the gospel of salvation. We rejoice to be able to come into your presence today and behold your glory here in your word. May you shine brightly in our hearts and transform us into the likeness of your glory for Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 414. Printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him, and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him, and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of every
O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 6. In these verses, Paul makes a reference to an Old Testament account of Moses' face glowing, shining, after he had received the commandments from the Lord on Mount Sinai. And he mentions that his glory, the glowing of his face, faded away, and he had to put a veil over his face so people couldn't see that glory fade. Of course, it's Transfiguration Sunday today, and we'll see Jesus shining in all his glory in our gospel reading, a glory that is greater than that of Moses or the law, the glory of Jesus and the gospel. Paul writes, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Our gospel reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 17. We'll read verses 1 through 9. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." Our gospel reading then is Matthew's account of Jesus' transfiguration. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise, and do not be afraid.' When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.'" Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the middle of page 4. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll continue with our next hymn, Hymn 413. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the brightness and image of God, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Transfiguration Sunday is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Peter writes, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard his voice, which came from heaven, when we were there with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There are a number of events in the Bible that I would have loved to have been an eyewitness for. Events I would have loved to see. The transfiguration of Jesus has got to be up there, at least in the top three. That is an event I would have loved to have seen. When you heard Matthew's description being read again this morning, how Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. When you heard that Moses and Elijah appeared with him, talking to him. When you read that God the Father's voice itself called out from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Wouldn't you have wished you were there as well, to hear and see those things? Wouldn't that have been an incredible, faith-strengthening experience? One of those moments that you could always look back on when your doubts and fears would creep up and say, no, I remember seeing and hearing that moment, that transfiguration of Jesus, to take away all of my doubts and fears. He is who he said he was. He revealed himself to me and my fellow disciples as the Son of God. That transfiguration of Jesus on that mountaintop would have strengthened our spirits and boosted our faith in a way that probably would have been unimaginable. Our eyes would have seen, our ears would have heard proof that Jesus is the Son of God, just like he said. And no doubt that's one of the reasons Jesus transfigured himself before Peter, James, and John that day on the mountain. To peel back the curtain for them, so to speak, to give them a glimpse of his true glory as God, to reveal himself as God. Remember what Peter, James, and John were just about to face, the most difficult time in their lives. These three would be the ones who witnessed more than anyone else firsthand the agony, the distress, the pain, and the anguish that Jesus would experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. The humiliation and suffering, and then again the agony of Jesus on that horrible cross. So this transfiguration, this glimpse of Jesus' glory would have carried these men through those difficult and dark hours that were about to come, and would have reminded these men of what they already knew. That Jesus, despite the horrible things that they would be witnessing soon, was in fact the glorious Son of God. And while Jesus has not appeared to us physically and let us see him with our own eyes, he has not left us without proof. He has left the sights and the sounds of that transfiguration event permanently engraved into our hearts and into our minds by some of the eyewitnesses of the transfiguration. Peter, of course, was one of those eyewitnesses. And his testimony from the second letter that he wrote is the basis for our sermon text for today. He reminds us in verse 16 of our text, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Not only was Peter an eyewitness, he saw Jesus radiant in all his glory. We might also say that he was an ear witness. He heard for himself God the Father's voice speaking from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard his voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Those are Peter's words, the words of an eyewitness. What he wanted his readers and he wants us to see and hear was what he saw and heard. The transfiguration of Jesus on that mountain. He wanted everyone who heard and read his inspired words to have the same confidence, to have the same assurance that Jesus was exactly who he said he was, the Son of God. Now, any lawyer could probably tell you the importance of an eyewitness. An eyewitness testimony can make or break a case. It can be the pivotal evidence that either proves or disproves someone's guilt or innocence. However, any lawyer could also tell you that an eyewitness testimony is far from foolproof. Even the most reliable eyewitness can have his testimony or his or her testimony shaken or discredited by a very skillful cross-examiner, a very ruthless cross-examiner. Well, Satan is that ruthless cross-examiner for us. He is known as the great accuser. He tries to lead us to doubt this eyewitness testimony, the eyewitness testimony of Peter. And he plays on our sinful fears and our doubts. He's used the words of some very intelligent, very persuasive people in our world to try and convince us that the eyewitness events or accounts of Peter and men like him are merely cunningly devised fables. That's exactly what many modern Bible scholars, so-called Bible scholars, say the Gospels are. Cunningly devised fables or legends about Jesus that were developed by the church and by Jesus' apostles over centuries and became more and more exaggerated as the years went on. Well, Satan may be the great accuser, but we have Jesus. We have the great advocate, our defender. And he has given to us more than just an eyewitness account of the transfiguration. Listen again to Peter's words, and I'll remind you, he was an eyewitness of this event. Imagine the clout he had, and imagine the memories that he could describe in detail to people. But what does he say in verse 19? And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. That's what the New King James translation says about that verse. Now, that's not the best translation of that phrase. If you look at that phrase in the Greek, there's actually a comparative word used there. So what Peter is actually saying is he says, we have the prophetic word more certain. Think of what an incredible statement that is from an eyewitness of the transfiguration. He says, we have something more certain than even an eyewitness account. The thing that is more certain, of course, is what he pointed to, the prophetic word, the word of God. God's word is not just a collection of cleverly devised fables. It is the testimony of eyewitnesses made more certain because the men who wrote them were not just eyewitnesses, they were inspired by God himself. Again, we read Peter's words from our text. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God's word is the greatest witness. It is the eternal, unchanging truth. It is the complete revelation of God. People can come up with a number of different things. They can dream their dreams and have their visions and say what they want to say about God and truth and what God has revealed. But people can lie. People can deceive. And people can be deceived. Satan lies, and Satan deceives. But God's word cannot lie. God's word never lies or deceives. So any prophecy or revelation or dream or vision that contradicts the word of God, goes beyond God's word, or tries to change God's word, is not from God. As Peter wrote, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. True prophecy comes from God, and God revealed that prophecy to us in his word. That is the rock-solid foundation. That is the ultimate eyewitness of all that God has done for us and for our salvation. That's why Peter tells us in our text, you would do well to heed it or listen to it like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. When God gave us the message of salvation through his son Jesus, he did not give us a collection of cunningly designed fables that were written hundreds of years after Jesus lived. No, he gave us thousands of years of accurate, detailed, God-inspired prophecies of his son Jesus, the coming of his son Jesus, by men who were handpicked by God, prophets of the Old Testament. And then he gave us multiple eyewitness accounts of the Gospels by men who were not only inspired by God, but who were eyewitnesses of Jesus, who lived when Jesus lived, who could have spoken with him, had their reports confirmed by people who were with Jesus as well, other eyewitnesses. Because we have the incredible, absolutely trustworthy eyewitness accounts of men like Peter and the rest of the inspired writers of God's word, God has made one more group of eyewitnesses. Us. You and me. Now, obviously, not in the same sense of physically seeing or hearing Jesus and his transfiguration like Peter did. None of us have probably seen his brightness and glory with our physical eyes. None of us have probably heard the voice of God the Father from heaven declaring Jesus to be his son. But that really doesn't matter much. We have the more certain witness of God's word. We have the complete revelation of God's word, both Old Testament and New Testament. After all, our eyes can be tricked. Our ears can be deceived. But God's word is absolutely trustworthy and true. It has given us eyes of faith to see Jesus' face shine like the sun, to see his clothes become as radiant and white as the light. God's word has given us ears to hear, by faith, the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." God's word has given us hearts of faith to pay attention to what God has told us, like a light shining in a dark place. This Wednesday night, we'll be celebrating the beginning of another season of Lent. I invite you to join us once again as we are all made witnesses of our salvation and the things Jesus did to earn that salvation for us. Today we have witnessed Jesus' radiant glory as true God. After today, we begin that journey of following him down a road of humiliation and suffering, even to the point of crucifixion on that cross. There will be eyewitnesses of the punishment our own sins deserved. We will witness God's own Son being forsaken by his Father, punished with the pains of hell, so that we would never be. We will be witnesses once again of Easter Sunday, when we see that empty tomb and hear those glorious words of the angel, "He is not here, he is risen." And we will see Jesus for ourselves with his pierced hands and pierced side, standing amongst his disciples. It is because of Jesus' work, because of his word, that we are now eyewitnesses by faith. It is because of Jesus' work that we will all be eyewitnesses of him in glory, with glorified eyes and glorified ears to see and hear him in heaven and see him as he is. Until that day, may our eyes and ears and hearts of faith always be focused on Jesus and his glory. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold with your spirit free.
Please be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. continue with our next hymn, hymn 416. For this morning. Yes, Chris.
Yeah, my wife Kathy has been having some unexplained dizziness and occasional fainting, and she's having some heart work done, some testing, so okay. To see what the cause may be. So, just prayers for that.
Okay, pray for Kathy. Yes.
Can you pray for my nephew Tyler and his wife Candace?
Pray for them. Candace has been suffering from an autoimmune disorder, and then has been hospitalized with a fever and pneumonia, and is in pretty critical condition in the hospital. And she's a mother of three children, one young infant. So pray for them as well. Any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are the great physician. We humbly intercede on behalf of our sisters in Christ for Kathy. We ask you, Lord, to give wisdom to the doctors who are treating her, to figure out what is wrong, and to give her the treatment that she needs to get well again. Help her to find comfort and strength in your word, and to trust that you are working this out for her good. We also pray, Lord, for Tyler and his wife, Candace. Please, Lord, be with Candace. Touch her with your healing hand. If it is your will, Lord, help her recover quickly from her illness. Be with her children and her family who are praying for her. Help them to see your love and your grace, even in this dark time. Help them also, Lord, to be comforted by your promises that you will never leave them or forsake them, that you are truly working these things, even these terrible, difficult things, out for their good. Help them to cling to your cross for their salvation and their comfort, and help them to look forward with joy to the home that you have waiting for them and all believers in you. We praise you, O God, for the precious gift of your Son. And we give you thanks, especially on this day, for the revelation of your will in our Savior's glorious transfiguration on that holy mountain. By this powerful sign, Lord, give to us and all your people a clearer vision and higher knowledge of Christ. Grant that as we behold the radiance of his glory with eyes of faith, we may know him and believe in him as the light of the world and the image of your own divine being. Dear Father, keep us always mindful of your words spoken from that bright cloud. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Give us then your Holy Spirit, so that our trust in your Son is daily renewed and strengthened. By the sign you gave when Moses and Elijah spoke with our Savior, give us renewed confidence that those who sleep in death are always alive to you because of your grace in Christ. As we go forth then in our daily lives, let the promise of future glory in Christ go with us. In all that we think, say, or do, let the light of your love show forth for others to see so that they might glorify you and come to know the gift of your grace by faith in your Son. Transform our weak and sinful lives into the radiance of your goodness, joy, and love. Take our sicknesses, our pains, our wounds and hurts. Take our disappointments, our defeats, and our despair. Take our sorrow and mourning. Take our pride and anger, our selfishness and envy. Take all of these, O Lord, and transform them by the power of your word into pure motives, into kind and helpful thoughts and deeds, into courage and a joyful spirit and true faith. And when our last hour comes, preserve us in the faith that you have begun in us, so that we shall awaken to bright and glorious eternal reign in heaven with you, dear Lord, and all those who place their trust in you. In our Savior's name we pray, as we pray in his name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with joyful, believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Close our service this morning with hymn 537. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book and welcome you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements from the bulletin. Later on this evening, I'll be heading down to Corona for our Southern California worship service at 6:30. This week, as I mentioned in the sermon, Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. It's not just Valentine's Day this Wednesday. It is Ash Wednesday, and we'll be reminded of true love, the love that our Savior gave us through all he went through for us on the cross. So please join us at 7 p.m. here for our Ash Wednesday worship service. Thursday, we'll have choir practice at 6:30. Next Sunday, Bible class will be at 9 a.m., and our worship service at 10 with communion. Please check the back table. There's a few things to look at back there. One is a church lighting survey. If you'd like to give your suggestions as to which type of pendants and then also sconces you'd like to see here in the church, phase one has been completed. If you noticed the brighter LED lighting in the front of church, we thank Scott for putting it up yesterday and thank him for his efforts in brightening up our sanctuary. So please give your opinion in the back if you'd like and write that down for us. And please do so by next Sunday if you could. Also, you'll see a church directory. If you can update and make any corrections to your entries in that, please do so by Sunday, February 25th. If you forget to do so and would rather just email Scott or Chris or myself, please do so as well. That's just fine. You'll see in the back pages of the bulletin also a missions prayer list from missionary Todd Ullman. There's a number of things to pray for. Take a look at that, and please keep those efforts in your prayers and praise the Lord for so many different areas of this world where we have contacts and mission work being done. It truly is remarkable where the Lord has allowed us to go, and pray for missionary Ullman and all of our missionaries across the globe. Any other announcements that I'm forgetting this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.